Thought the choir did a great job. A little confusion this morning. It's all right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you that we can just come into your presence. I thank you, Lord, for music, and I thank you for song. I thank you for worship. I thank you for your Son who makes it all possible, Lord. And he gives us a reason to sing. And I thank you, Lord, and praise you. And there is no one like you on this whole universe. We're so thankful for you and that you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to be a light to the world, to be a Savior. Lord, and we put our faith and our trust in Christ this morning. And we pray that he would be magnified and glorified in all that we do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're running. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Look at you, you guys are all alive this morning. That's good. Hopefully you got all your shopping done. Everybody done with their shopping? No? Oh, come on now. You got your shopping done? You got your plans in place? Everybody's plans in place? Know what you're going? Are you staying home? Hiding out? Hopefully you got some plans where you're going with people and you enjoy fellowship together. I think that's so important at Christmas time as much as in Thanksgiving. You know, one of the things that takes place every year mentioning Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving, and it's not shopping, but there's something that happens every year. And it's actually starting earlier and earlier now, but it used to always be right after Thanksgiving. And that was Christmas music, right? All of a sudden, the radio stations pop on that you didn't know before. And now you can get them all year long, but all of a sudden there's Christmas music. You walk into stores the day after Thanksgiving, and everything's playing Christmas music. And every year, we always hear our favorite Christmas songs. Some of you like, some of you don't like. But there's one song that pops up every year, and everyone's favorites. And it's a simple song. It's a beautiful song, and it's asked a question. Every year, it asks a question. Mary, did you know? And I thought this year, I want to know if Mary knew. I mean, I was hearing that song, and I thought, well, what? Well, wait a minute. Didn't Mary know? I mean, is that a silly question? Or is that something I need to look into? And I thought this morning we would have a little fun with this, do a little investigative work in the scriptures to ask, to finally answer this question, Mary, did you know? So that when you hear it on the radio, you can go, yes or no. Or at least what she knew, right? Don't you want to know the answer to that? I do. So there's several things when we look at this. It's the same question every year. Mary, did you know? And the song's lyrics ask several questions. And one of those questions like, Mary, did you know that Jesus would walk on water and would save your sons and daughters? Did she know Jesus was going to deliver them from sin? Did she know he was going to heal? Did she know that when she kissed him, she was kissing the face of God? Did she know he was Lord and that one day he would rule the nations? Did she know she was holding the great I am? Just think about that for a moment and just let that kind of rest on you. This morning I want to set out to answer this question, and I want to answer it from Scripture. I don't want someone's thoughts. I want to know what the book says. Amen? Amen? That's where we got to start, right? And by the end of this sermon, what I hope is that you will know what Mary knew. You'll have an idea of what Mary knew. And in this process, what I really hope happens is that you know a little bit more about Jesus. Because that's the whole theme. Right? That's the whole reason for Christmas. It's the whole reason we sing songs, is to know Christ. right? And we want to know Christ for the purpose of making Christ known to others. So if I can use this sermon this morning, what I hope is that you learn a little bit more about Jesus. And then when someone else says, Mary, did you know? You can go, I know. Here's the answers. From Scripture, I can answer your question. So what we want to first look at, we're in an investigative kind of mode here. You ready? So we want to know who's closest to Mary, right? We want to know the people around. Who's she hanging out with? Who's she got around her, right? And the first person I think about is Joseph. Because Joseph, they're engaged. They're close. They're going to be married down the road. This is someone she would be talking to, right? You would think they would have conversation. I know I talked to my wife on occasion. And especially when I was dating her, I talked to her a lot more than I do now. Right? It just happens after, you know, time. Not that you run out of words, it's just life. I think 27 years of marriage, you know, almost 28. So anyways, we got to progress out of that one. A few weeks ago, we learned about Joseph. And one of the things we learned was that Joseph knew. Joseph knew. And we can look in Matthew chapter 1, and there's two places in your Bible I'd like you to open up to. It's Matthew chapter 1, but I really want you to put your finger in Luke chapter 1 and 2, because that's where we're going to mainly look at. And remember, all four Gospels, there's only two Gospels that talk about the birth of Christ, and it's Matthew and Luke. And Luke is the most accurate account, because remember, Luke was trying to convince his Greek friends that this is the whole truth. And he was a doctor, so he wanted to make sure he had all the facts down so that anybody who picks up Luke's gospel, he's got a collection of all the gospels and he lets everything go through. And then we see like Mark, he just wants to get immediately to the baptism. The heck with the birth, let's just get moving. And John has a whole different agenda altogether. I mean, he's out to say that Jesus is God and he came. That's, he just focuses on that. But we want to look at Matthew and Luke. And one of the things I want to set the stage for is you have to remember that in the intertestamental period between the Old Testament and New Testament, there was 400 years. And we talked a little bit about it last week. We learned about where Hanukkah came from. In that 400-year period, God did not talk to his people. There was no prophets. There was no talking. There was no writing other than historical writings. But God wasn't talking to his people. So all of a sudden to have angels show up, I got to tell you how exciting this would have been. What kind of tone this would have set, how it would have moved in people's hearts. Because all of a sudden now God is speaking again to his people. Because angels are showing up and have a message. Right? And we're going to read about it this morning. So Joseph was engaged to be married, and she was found to be pregnant before they were officially married. And it doesn't matter what culture you come from, that's not a good thing. And you can just imagine that. And Scripture tells us he considered to quietly divorce her and not publicly disgrace her, which says two things when you think about it. It says a lot about his character, and it says something about her character because he thought higher of her, that he didn't want to embarrass her. And it would have been a great embarrassment. But while he was thinking about these things over, he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And in Matthew 1, verse 20, this is what we learn. It says, but after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, a virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and he will be named Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And when Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but he did not know her intimately until she gave birth to her son, and he named him Jesus. In this passage, we learned that Joseph learn that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and his name literally means, the name Jesus means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. And the angel announced just that, that he was coming to save his people from their sins. But we also learn that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy from the book of Isaiah, which was written over 700 years before. And just, I was thinking about this. Just think about it. Someone, this would be like someone in the 1300s saying I would be a pastor at Rockland. How could they possibly know who I was, even that Rockland existed? I mean, just think about this for a minute. In the 1300s, that's what it would have been like. Someone prophesying something that's taking place in 2015. It would have been impossible. I don't know if you can calculate the odds of this. Just think about that for a moment. But here we are. We have details about the coming birth of the Messiah. And it's in such a way, no one knows a virgin who gives birth to a child. You've never seen it. I promise you, I haven't. It's not something you hear about every day, do you? It's inconceivable. Anyways, see it if you're awake. But she would become pregnant and give birth to a child. His name would be, not only would he be named Jesus, but he would be known as Emmanuel, which means God's with us. So his name has two meanings. You have Jesus, that means God saves, and at the same time he's known as Emmanuel, that God is with us. He's physically with us. Joseph was convinced. And you know how I know he was convinced of this? How do I know Joseph believed this? He married her. If you didn't believe this, you would not marry her. He was convinced, and he married her. And I think it's safe to say that Joseph knew. And the couple close to Mary was Zechariah and Elizabeth. This is someone else who was close to Mary. It's not known for sure, but Elizabeth was Mary's cousin or aunt. But it just says simply that she was related to her. But in Luke's account, it says he was related. Zechariah and Elizabeth are from a priestly line. They would have been from the Levitical line. And Zechariah performed duties as a priest around the temple. Both scriptures tell us that they were both righteous. Both him and Elizabeth were righteous in God's sight. And it says that in Luke 1:6. But scripture makes a point to tell us that they were also without a child. They had no children between them, and they were advanced in years. Zechariah was performing priestly duties when he had an encounter with the angel Gabriel. It was known that priest duties were divided amongst 24 groups. They had, if you can picture the temple with its sanctuary and the Holy of Holies and the inner court and the outer court and then the Gentiles court. It was this massive complex, and they had 24 groups of priests that worked in and out of the different duties that would have been done around the temple. Only twice a year did they rotate into the inner temple to perform duties. And Zechariah was chosen to burn incense in the sanctuary. So you can imagine the temple, you have the inner sanctuary, the main building, and inside that is the Holy of Holies. And right before the Holy of Holies, the curtain that we read about that was torn from the top to the bottom, was this altar that stood like this podium right in front of it. And there they would burn incense and offer prayers. And they did this twice a day. They did it at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was only the priest who would go in there, and he would offer prayers up for the people's behalf, and he would burn incense. And while he was in there, in front of the Holy of Holies, remember, you can only go into Holy of Holies once a year. So what an honor. You're that close to God. That's how they're thinking. The curtain is right there. And right beside him, right to his right, shows an angel standing there. Imagine how startled you would be if you were talking and you're doing this, and all of a sudden, like someone beaming in from Star Trek, boom, he's there. It would scare you, wouldn't it? All of a sudden, he's just standing there, and he's telling you. And while he's offering prayers and incense, he sees this angel who appears to the right of the altar. And the angel Gabriel tells him, "Do not be afraid, and your wife will bear you a son." And the angel continues saying, and you can read this in verse 14 through 17, "There will be joy and delight for you, for many will rejoice at his birth, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will turn hearts of their fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of righteousness to make ready for the Lord to prepare his people." And we know that they're talking about John the Baptist, who would take the Nazarene vow that he wouldn't cut his hair and he wouldn't have any alcohol whatsoever. And it was a vow that he would make for the rest of his life, and that he would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, we know that John the Baptist is the one who would baptize Jesus himself. And remember, he baptizes them in repentance. They have to repent of their sins. He's preparing a way that Jesus is going to come and he's going to say, "You got to repent of sin and you got to believe in me because I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And so John is setting that whole thing up. And we can jump ahead a little bit further and we can see Elizabeth, who is pregnant with child. We can just see it right in Luke chapter 1 if you just go a few verses up. And we know she's carrying John the Baptist. And we know Mary visits her. Because there's a great passage in Luke chapter 1 when we see this visit. And that John the Baptist, while still in the womb, leapt for joy at the hearing of Mary's voice. I don't know what that feels like. I have no idea. Any of you women that's carried children, I don't know what it's like to have a child leap for joy in your womb. But man, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But she knew. She knew. In this verse right before that, we see that Elizabeth says she's humbled by the fact that Mary had come to visit her. And she says something pretty astounding in this, like those verses that you just kind of skip over if you're not paying attention. She says, and she calls Mary the mother of my Lord. I mean, Mary was esteemed. I mean, she was chosen to carry Jesus. When John was born, Zechariah, who was unable to speak because he doubted the angel. Remember, he was an old man, and he's saying, "You know, my wife and me are beyond childbearing years, and you're saying I'm going to have a child." He actually questioned the angel, and Gabriel said, "You'll be mute the whole time she's pregnant until you're going to shut up, you know. You're not going to ask any more questions." And he wasn't able to speak. And when he was naming his son John, in the official ceremony where they would circumcise him, his mouth was loosened, the scripture tells us. And here's what he says. He says, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel." And remember, these are the first words Zechariah was saying. And his first words are not, "Oh man, it's so good to talk." He's praising the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He sees the whole line connected, and he's praising God that Jesus from the line of David is coming, and his son is going to be the one who's going to herald him. Zechariah knows. John would be the forerunner of Jesus, and he would point the way to Christ through repentance and baptism. And I think it's safe to say that Zechariah and Elizabeth knew. And they were around Mary. And I'm sure they shared the stories. Gabriel knew. Gabriel the angel, he announced the coming of John the Baptist to Zechariah, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, to make ready for the people of the Lord. Gabriel is only one of two angels that are named in the Bible. Can anyone name the other one? Michael. Thank you, Dan. Michael is the only other one. And we have Gabriel. So this is not just some angel. He has a name. He's a special angel. And he describes himself as the one who stands in the presence of God. And he went to speak to Zechariah. He was also sent to Mary to tell her. And he said this to her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." That is an amen. And I would not be surprised that Gabriel was the angel who went to see Joseph. It just says the angel of the Lord, but I think that might have been Gabriel. And we'll also see that it was an angel of the Lord that went and talked to the shepherds. And I'm pretty convinced it might be. It doesn't sound very convincing, does it? It might be Gabriel. The scriptures doesn't say, so I don't want to presume on scripture. None of us should do that. But it's a good possibility. At the birth of Jesus, we read how the shepherds were standing in the field, and they were keeping watch over their flocks. And an angel of the Lord stood before them. And this is what he said, and we can read this in Luke 2, 9 through 12. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will come for all people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth, laying in a feeding trough." What details? And they went and they found Mary and Joseph. And afterwards, they found the baby, reported what the angel had said to them. And they rejoiced and glorified God and all they had seen and heard. I mean, just think about that for a moment. The shepherds know. They knew. They were told. And who'd they tell? They told Mary. They told Mary all that they had heard. We've learned from Scripture, just in this short time that we've been looking at this, that the angel of the Lord told Joseph and Mary was that Mary was going to give birth to a son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and his name would be Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. We read that in Scripture. We saw it. And that his name would be Emmanuel, which would mean God is with us. We know that Zechariah and Elizabeth known because they were told about the coming of their son who would prepare the way for the Lord. And this son, just John, leapt for joy at the hearing of Mary's voice in Elizabeth's womb. And I'm sure they shared this story together as they spent time together. We know the angel Gabriel knew, told Mary what was happening to her, and she was carrying the son of the Most High. Mary's response tells us everything that we need to know if Mary knew. Because she says this, when Gabriel had finished telling her, she said this, "Beautiful words if you listen to it. I am the Lord's slave." And this is in Luke 1:38. "I am the Lord's slave. May it be done to me according to your word." She put her faith in God, trusted him. A young girl, 15 years old, trusted. And when she visited Elizabeth, she praised God saying this. And this is a beautiful part of Scripture. Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55. This is what Mary said. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Because he has looked at me with favor and humble condition with his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty ones from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy. He has just spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." an amazing prayer. She knew. She knew what was going on. Lastly, and the last one that I love the most, and you would almost miss it. This is what I love about Scripture. When you're reading Scripture, if you don't take your time, there is parts of Scriptures you'll just slide right on over because it doesn't seem that important, and it kind of just gets missed in the narrative. But after the birth of Jesus, the shepherds came to her and told her what had been said and what they had seen. Imagine the excitement of these shepherds busting out of the field. I mean, I'm sure they were a rugged bunch. Just imagine them coming crashing into this manger scene. Exactly how that looked, nobody really knows. But just showing up all of a sudden with all this excitement. And I'm sure Mary was probably tired and Joseph were tired. It's probably late at night and here they come with all this energy and all this excitement. And this is what the Scripture says. It says in Luke 2:19, it simply says this, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. She was treasuring them up in her heart and meditating on them. She was taking it all in, and she was thinking about it all that this son was. And I think Mary knew. I think Mary knew. Mary knew her son, who he was, and then he was going to save his people. What she didn't know, and what the others didn't know, was how he was going to do it. They knew he was coming. They knew that he was going to usher in a whole new period, but they had no clue on how he was going to do it. No one except the Messiah. No one expected the Messiah. No one expected the Messiah to suffer and to give up his life for sin. No one expected that. Nobody expected that. Peter explained when he wrote concerning this salvation, he says in 1 Peter 10-12, considering this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. So even the prophets before were looking for it, but they didn't fully understand. They inquired into about the time and the circumstances, and it was the Spirit of Christ within them that was indicating. So the Spirit was leading them to investigate and to write these things down. But why were they writing it down if they didn't understand it? That's a question, right? That's what they were doing. And he says he testified in advance of the messianic suffering and the glories that would follow. So they wrote about those things, but they didn't understand them. And it says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. It was for us to know. They didn't understand it. But the ones who would come after the Messiah, you would understand because you would have the Word of God. It would tell you these things. You would have the whole narrative. Just think, the old people in the Old Testament never had the whole story. And even the people who were going through it didn't fully comprehend it. It was only after the fact that they understood. And now here we are, 2,000 years, and we got the whole story. We got the whole thing from beginning to end. And then lastly, it says the angels desired to look upon these things. Even the angels didn't understand. They could see it, but they couldn't comprehend it. A suffering Messiah. No one knew. And when it was said he came to free his people, they thought he was coming to save them from oppression of a government, but he was coming to free them from the bondage of sin and death. They had no idea. The true enemies were sin and death. No one knew he was coming to establish a kingdom, and he would do this in a whole new way. He would do it through a church. Through the church, he would establish his kingdom. And he would establish this church in a whole new way. And he would work through this church. And we are part of that. The building of his kingdom. It's not just now, but it's in the future. But we're building the kingdom of God now, here, right in Rockland. And Christ is working through us. Think about that for a moment. The temple, the whole idea of sharing Christ has gone global through the Holy Spirit, through the likes of just common people. It's an amazing thought. No one knew that he would accomplish this, that he would have to die for our sins. He was buried and raised on the third day. No one knew he was going to have to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and they would unleash the Holy Spirit to reside in the hearts of people. And one day he would come back for that church and establish his kingdom forever. And we're waiting. We're in the already, but not yet. We're waiting. No one knew God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love for us, that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah. That even though we were dead in our trespasses, he saved us by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens. It's not just saving us from the sins, but he's going to set us in the heavens, next to the throne of God itself. So that in the coming ages, in the age to come, he might display his immeasurable riches of his grace through the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You are going to be on display for the whole universe to see God's grace. Did you deserve any of that? And he's going to display you like an ornament for all the mire. And you're going to praise God the whole time because you didn't deserve it. For you are saved by grace through faith. And it's not from yourself. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. No one's going to stand before God and say, I made a good choice in choosing you, like a car dealer. It's never going to happen. God chose you. So the question this morning really is, now that we've settled the question of Mary knew, do you know? That's the question right now, isn't it? Because you can't have this information and not make a choice. You either will or you won't. It's just that simple. Do you know? And if you answered yes, this question then becomes, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you upon the cross? See, as soon as I say this, there's those who are folding their arms over their chest, guarding their hearts. Do you know that he died for you and your sins? Do you know that he came to save you, that he came to rescue you from this mess and to elevate you? Do you know that the great gift this Christmas is the gift of grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift that he's presenting you? Do you know Christ? And I hope this morning that as we've looked at the scripture, that you have come closer to Christ and that your heart would be open to the miracle of Jesus. Because he is a miracle. He's the only way to be saved. This Christmas, I hope you'll see past all the show. I truly do. I hope you'll see past the gifts. I hope you'll see the heart of Christmas is knowing Christ. That the greatest gift we received was a little baby given to us who would rise up as a young man, live the life perfectly, and then sacrifice that life to save the very people who were killing him. I pray that you will see him in a different light. And I pray most of all that you'll trust him. And I know now when you hear that song, Mary, Did You Know? I hope you have a whole different spin on it. I truly do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you now, Lord, that if there's anybody sitting here that's never put their faith in you, I pray now, Lord, that you would open up their hearts and you would pour into them, Lord. That from the scriptures, Lord, they would see who you are. That it's not a mystery. Lord, you made yourself known. That you came in flesh. And that you walked among us, Lord. People touched you. Lord, you healed them. You gave them sight. And most of all, Lord, you gave them salvation because you sacrificed that life. You were buried and you rose on the third day. And we put our faith in you, Lord, that you defeated sin and death in one swoop. Lord, and we put our faith in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.